Hello, and welcome to the Career Compass Employee Development Series, which will include podcasts, webinars, white papers, and whiteboard videos. Please check back for future releases on a variety of topics within our competency development program. This series is specifically designed for the Naval Facilities Engineering Command, or NAFAC. I am Dr. Jeffrey Weaver with Advancia Technologies, and I am joined by Ms. Ann Lair, Senior Vice President with the Center for Human Capital Innovation, and will be your host. Today's podcast topic is stress and well-being. Hi, Ann. Welcome back to the studio once again.
Hi, Jeffrey. Thanks so much for inviting me back again.
And as you already know, we've talked about this previously, this series was created for NAFAC to specifically assist with their 20 non-technical competencies that are outlined in the employee development strategy. These podcasts will allow us to share information and best practices, outline skills, and reiterate information from other sources such as previous podcasts, webinars, or Supervisors Academy, and describe ways for employees and managers to gain better working relationships as they grow in proficiency in a variety of skills and competencies. The purpose of this particular podcast is to provide insights to help employees become more engaged and help managers, supervisors, and leaders alike create an optimum environment for effective employee engagement and improved retention. These podcasts will provide tips, techniques, and a solid understanding of material and topics for a self-paced employee development approach. To make sure that we're all clear as to why we're here, I wanted to take a moment and share the objectives of this podcast, and they are: 1, identify best practices for minimizing stress; 2, understand standards for effective stress management and well-being practices; and 3, develop skills for effective stress management and well-being practices. So let's get started. And so you have a very extensive background in coaching and mentoring, and I think that that leads to some of the things that we need to talk about today, which is stress management and why we need to know it. So let's start with an easy question. It is for me because I'm asking it. What is stress management?
Stress management is exactly as it sounds. How do we manage the stress that we feel in our life every day? All of us feel some sort of stress, usually on a regular basis, some more than others. And so the question is, how do we manage that stress so it doesn't manifest in lifelong health issues and that it doesn't manifest in burnt out relationships and that we can be our best every day?
Thank you. I know we both did a lot of research on this topic, and there were two articles in particular that I found, and I'm hoping that you can shed some light and help me understand what I'm reading. One of the reports that I saw was done by the American Psychological Association talking about the U.S. in 2017. It cost bottom lines to the businesses of over $300 billion because their employees were stressed out. So conversely, the federal government released a report in March of 2018 that talked about a survey that they conducted also in the year 2017, where federal employees were able to use workplace flexibilities that allowed them to increase in their engagement. The report that I've noted raised percentages of employee engagement from 66% to almost 79%. So what do you think might be some additional cost of stress to a business?
So that's what we see at a large scale. If we go day to day at your place of work, wherever it is, Port Hueneme, Lant, Guam, wherever it is, you will see it in the people you work with and in yourself in terms of maybe there's higher absenteeism, maybe there's less productivity, or perhaps there's a decreased employee engagement, which just means someone who's willing to make a contribution at work. So the numbers you shared really show how big of an issue this is. And if we bring it back to the individual level for our listeners, that's what you're going to see on a day-to-day basis. Do you feel like going to work today? Are you excited to go to work today? Are you engaged at work today? Do you have higher healthcare costs because of illnesses? That's the things that we would see every day.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And then on the flip side of stress, we talk about well-being and having a balance. Is there a definition that we should understand or know for what well-being means?
Well-being is individual. There is not one answer. It's going to be different for every single person based on their physical level of activity, based on their age, all types of things. But at a point, what we're looking for is someone feeling like they can produce and accomplish what they want to by the end of the day and get things done in a way that they feel like they have more energy. That's well-being. If they feel depleted on a regular basis, then that is what we call someone who has a lot of stress or poor health.
Okay, thank you. So how would you go about managing that from an individual perspective?
There's a lot of great models out there. My favorite model is something that's called the corporate athlete, and it refers to four pillars of how athletes manage their stress and manage their wellness. Sometimes it's called corporate athletes. Sometimes it's just called the four pillars. But what we're looking at is the first pillar is physical. The second pillar is mental. The third is emotional. And the fourth is spiritual. And spiritual does not mean a religion. It really means understanding yourself. So when they studied these top athletes around the world, they saw that all these athletes had these four things in common that maybe not necessarily every day, but certainly within a week, they were monitoring their physical, their mental, their emotional, and their spiritual health.
So physical, you just described. Mental, as you stated earlier, is something that we also need to understand. Does that also play a large role in how we are engaged at work?
Absolutely. So mental is the ability to focus, the ability to sit down and do whatever the task is and focus without distraction. The technology right now is so easy to get distracted in terms of like, oh, I'm doing this and then I'm doing that. And it's what we call task switching in our brain. In our brain, every time our brain has to switch from one task to another, from doing an email to doing a phone call, that's what we call a task switch. And every time we do that, it takes our brain more energy to go back to what we originally were doing. So when we talk about that mental wellness or that mental energy, it is being able to focus and not do so much task switching so you can get done what you want to get done. I'll be able to talk about meditation. That's a great way to do it in terms of when you meditate, you're teaching your brain to be able to stay focused. And you don't have to meditate for an hour. It could just be for 30 seconds at a time, 2 minutes at a time. Another tip for really being able to do that mental focus is what we call the power hour. The power hour doesn't mean necessarily an hour, but it's a time, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, up to an hour, where you are able to stay focused and power through some big task at hand without distraction. So if we start to think about that mental energy, are you able to stay focused on the task at hand or do you get distracted? If you get distracted a lot by technology, one tip is turn off all your notifications. We don't need to know when a text has come in, when an email has come in. We'll get to it when we get to it. Another one is to practice just very short breathing or meditations to start to increase the focus. And then the last tip for that mental energy is really setting aside time every day, generally in the morning, but doesn't have to be, to focus on something for 20, 30, 45 minutes up to an hour.
So we have shared a lot of information. I appreciate that. But because NAFAC is a specific organization and they're unique in and of themselves within the entire Navy, no other organization is like them. Do you think that with your experience for coaching and mentoring, that there's one particular pillar we should recommend or highlight for the NAFAC audience?
As a reminder, there's four pillars, Jeffrey. There's physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. We talked a little bit about mental with some tips. Emotional is being able to manage your emotions. It's also what we know as emotional intelligence. Some people call it EQ. And emotional intelligence, be able to manage your emotions so that they don't impact negatively those around you. The spiritual pillar really talks about our core values and knowing what we value, what's important to us. I think all three of those pillars are important. For me, the most important pillar, again, regardless of where you are, is that physical pillar. And that physical pillar is really about making sure that you're getting enough water every day. The recommendation there is at least a gallon a day. Making sure that you are fueling your body for whatever you need in terms of the nutrients that you can have that level of energy that you're looking for at the end of the day. And also making sure that you get enough sleep and have some sleep habits created. And then finally, also just moving your body. General rule of thumb is you want to move your body every 45 minutes to keep the energy up. So to answer your question, that first pillar to me is foundational. If I don't have enough water or food or sleep, there is no way I'm going to be able to focus on the other three pillars of mental, emotional, and spiritual. So I would say, regardless of where you are and what you do, if you're at the Navy Yard, if you're at the Pentagon, is to really just think about how much am I taking care of my physical self today? And that can be the first step in managing your stress.
Well, thank you for that. That also tied into the last question I was going to ask you, which is, what's in it for me, the WIFM? But you just gave me that. So thank you so much. If you had to put a final point on stress and well-being or how to manage that for the NAFAC employees, what would be the overarching tip that you want them to walk away with?
The overarching tip is that there's not one way for everybody. It's going to be up to you, your body, your level of activity, what you do for a living. So really listen to your body and ask yourself, what do I need to do to take care of it? Just doing that can help you release the stress and lower your shoulders and start to breathe deeper, which all will help in terms of increasing retention, increasing employee engagement, and deepening those relationships with those that you care about.
Great. And that can be used for both employees and supervisors at all levels of the organization, because we're all people first, and we've got to understand ourselves before we can understand anybody else, whether we're leading a team, leading an entire command, or leading the entire force. So thank you. Thank you so much, Anne, for your participation in this podcast.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
And thanks to all of our listeners for taking time out of your schedule to listen. Please remember to check back for additional podcasts, in addition to webinars, white papers, and whiteboard videos that will be available on the Career Compass Employee Development Series webpage. And this concludes our podcast for Stress and Well-Being. Finally, as we've always done, we want to hear your comments and feedback or answer any questions that you might have. So please email us at careercompass@centerforhci.org. And I'll spell that for you, careercompass@centerforhci.org. We look forward to hearing from you with your comments, questions, or even any suggestions for ideas for future podcasts. Thank you so much.